Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Amen. Are you excited this morning? We have an amazing testimony in the house. But before we have this testimony, I just want to read a short scripture from Psalm 96 and verse 3. It says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders amongst all people." Amen. The wonders of God is happening in our church. This morning, with shouts of joy, help me welcome Haniel as he brings his testimony to us this morning. Oh, 100 Hello. Voices. I will not play the keyboard again. No.
Hello.
Oh, yes. Please, your name and where you are calling from.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Haniel. I'm from Rose of Sharon, the Rose of Sharon Council.
Wow.
And I'm an instrumentalist in the 100 Voices Choir.
Wow. Okay, Haniel, tell us what the Lord has done for you.
My testimony this morning is about how, through a combination of being in the church, being in Eba Santa, receiving the prayers from Mommy, and listening to the message, I was able to help both myself and one of my coursemates pass one of our midterm exams.
Hey, I see you passing your midterm. Hey, those who are not raising their hands, I said, I see you passing your midterm. Amen. So, Haniel, we are listening to you.
Right. So, last week, I don't know for those of you who weren't here, but Mommy preached about others, about how we should be thinking about others, how our mind should be on others, and we should help others instead of just helping ourselves. And by God's grace, I got the opportunity to practically apply that. Because right after service, one of my course mates, who is also in the church, she approached me and asked me to help her with a topic. And this topic was going to come in the exam that was coming the next day. To be honest, I myself, for a long time, since the beginning of this semester, that topic wasn't entering my head.
No, never a mercy.
Mercy. But by God's grace, our wonderful MD organized a special all-night study for the instrumentalists.
Wow. Yeah.
So I actually came. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a good place to put your hands together for Yofi. Yofi, God bless you so much.
So I actually came. I closed late that day, so I wasn't really feeling like it, but I decided to just force and come. During the all night, at some point, my brain was just shutting down, like nothing was entering. And then at that point when my brain stopped working, the thing entered my head, and I
Tell me about the wonders.
Yeah. So I was able to explain the thing to her. We actually met after service, and I explained the whole thing. We went over and over. Then the next day came, the next morning, we wrote. As soon as we opened the page, the first 15 questions, 25% of the whole exam, was that very thing.
I don't feel your... rise to your feet and clap your hands and appreciate God for the wonders he's doing. Hey!
Yeah. I remember after we finished the paper, like, when I came outside and I met my friend, she was just so happy and excited because if not for our previous study, and if not for me being able to remember it, we wouldn't have been able to answer. Like, you just open the thing or you think you are cooked. But by God's grace, you were able to answer it perfectly.
Oh, no problem. I think we should give a clap offering unto the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your wonders. And what do you want to tell the church?
So I want to tell everyone here that being in this church is not for nothing. In case it hasn't come to your mind yet, it's not for nothing at all. You are very blessed to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Become a constant member. Come to service. And even if you come late, you can access the word that Mommy preached and apply it to your life. Don't just listen. Apply it. Join Eba Santa. If not for me being in Eba Santa, how do you think I would have gotten the knowledge? Please join Eba Santa. Find somewhere to be.
Oh,
and you can
even
join the best Eba Santa in the church if you want.
Oh, Les, I think it's a good place to... We are, hey, gazelles, you are not clapping. You don't want to receive the testimony. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Tell remember that this is why you must be in a basanta. Yes, if you are on your own, there's no way that you'll be part of an all-night study group. Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord this morning. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad to be sitting by you. If the neighbor is your friend, I want you to move to somebody else. Just move. Nothing will happen to you. Just move from your seat. Just move. Nothing will happen to you. Just move from your seat. If you don't know, if you know the person by you, ask somebody else their name and where they are coming from. Beautiful. Beautiful. Come back to your seat and let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing us to another service this morning. I thank you that you're changing us from the inside out. I pray that this word will find a place in our hearts. I pray that we'll be blessed because we came. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Ask your neighbor that the midterms know how was it? Was it working? I'm seeing some people nodding their heads. Also, I am also seeing some people who are looking as if they don't speak English. Like they don't understand the question. But we thank God for taking us through. Amen. And I hope that you have thanked him. Hallelujah. And even though quite a number of people are home, we are here. Tell your neighbor, we are here. We are here. Yeah. We are here. We are here. Hallelujah. I have a few announcements for you that I want you to take very seriously. The first announcement is that every Tuesday we have a weekday service. Those of us who were here last Tuesday, which was the first one, we were very blessed to be here. And I hope that you will join now that your exams, your midterms have passed. Amen. Oh, are you there? Who is the service for? Everybody. It's called the God Lovers Service because it's for anybody loving God. You see, when you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. You want to know more about them. You want to know more about what they like, what they don't like. You want to just flow. So if that's you, you're welcome to the weekday Tuesday service that starts at 6:30 p.m. Amen. Beautiful. Now, we also have two programs this month. And I really want you to take note. The first program is on the 12th and 13th of March. It's a Thursday and a Friday. And I have particularly chosen a particular person, amen, to come and have this program with us. Are you there? Everybody who comes, there's a reason. Do you want to know the reason why I'm calling this guy? You want to know the reason? You really want to know the reason? Okay. The nickname in this church for this bishop is the Momo Bishop. The Momo Bishop. And there's a reason for this nickname. He's a preacher of the Word of God. He's very prophetic. But for some reason, it's just a gift. Are you there? Are you in the church or you are not there? Some people, you see, some of you, your unbelief is a lot. But it is what we have seen and what we have experienced here. Are you there? As he is preaching, the momos just work. Yes. He visited us last academic year. It was the first. Normally when midterms are coming, exams are coming, we have to help people. We are looking for money to help people pay fees. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to do anything. By the second day of his visit, people were coming up to say, I don't know. And the interesting about those momos is that they are coming from who you don't expect. Some auntie somewhere, some friends, some uncle, something. Varying amounts. I think that last time we had from 100 Ghana cedis up to almost 5,000 and something. Yeah, I have no idea. So as your pastor, I just feel that somebody come and help us again. Or is it a good idea? Yeah. If you believe, you believe for yourself. If you come, you don't believe. Don't text me. Are you there? Don't text me at all. Don't text me. Because people were able to sort out their fees that were remaining. People were able to sort out. It was a real thing. And the first day when he said it, we're all, oh yeah, God bless you. Hey, then we began to see it live. And then somebody came to give a testimony. And I remember the person saying something about, I want more. Then he turned and said, do you want more? As she was standing there. And right there in front of us, we all heard it. Bling, she had got another. Hey, Charlie. Tell anybody this one, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your what? You can choose to be an unbeliever. It is your own portion. But me, I believe such things. Yes, I believe such things. And so that is why I'm asking him to come. Are you there? I just feel that, look, before exams descend on us again, the Bomo Bishop should just come and pass through. Are you there? He should just come and pass through, preach the word of God, bless us, but also bless our momos. Ask your neighbor, are you going to be here? If your neighbor is looking doubtful, tell the neighbor that I will collect yours and add to mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there? So he's going to be here. It's a Thursday, the 12th, and then the Friday will be an all-night. An all-night, yeah. Why? So that you have a chance to rest a little bit. Are you there? Then when you come, it's like, Lord, we and you, we are here. You'll solve my things for me as we are here. Ask your neighbor, do you have certain needs that you are thinking about? Hey, you are very quiet, oh. Yeah. Me, I'm going to be believing God for some people. Yeah. And I'm going to believe God for some people who are in need of miracles. Are you in the church or you have traveled? So put your hands together. Bishop Noble Nobleson is going to be visiting us from the 12th to the 13th of March. Amen and amen. Beautiful, beautiful. And then the last program that we will have in the month of March is on the 27th of March. It's also a Friday. Amen. And it's going to be right here. It's in the night and it's called A Night of Impact. And you're going to be hearing more about it in the course of the month. Amen. So are you happy that we're in the month of... are you happy? Yeah, I'm also happy. Beautiful. Okay. This morning we're going to preach the word of God. Ask anybody, are you ready for the word? Charlie, film stars, you make us happy. I'm not loving your clap. Henry, will you please sit down before I take my compliments back? But it was a very nice film and very practical. Yeah, very practical. Can you imagine that you have a roommate who is criticizing you every day? It will not be easy in this life. And then you are sick. You'll be lying there alone. Hallelujah. But it was a good word. Ask your neighbor, are you being affected by the message on others? I pray that it affects us. You see, sometimes one of the reasons why our lives don't change as quickly as the Lord will is because we hear the word, we agree, but then we don't do anything about it. And the Bible says that be a doer of the word. It's in the book of James. And not just a hearer only. You don't need to turn to it. They should find it. Are you there? Yeah. So that if you don't do it, then you are like somebody who looked in the mirror. There was toothpaste here. But he saw it. But when he turned away, he forgot. And he went to class and the toothpaste was here. So that's how you are. If you hear the word and you don't do it. So we want to be people who are going to do the word. Are you going to do it? Oh, are you going to do it? Beautiful, because today I'm just sharing again with you. I'm going to share, okay, they've given you the scripture there, James 1, 23. And I'm going to be sharing with you once again about others. Amen? Don't get tired. We don't love others. So the word is what is helping us. It's helping us to correct ourselves. We don't think about others. We think about ourselves. And the result is the current misery that we have in the world. Yeah. You know, you see all these reels coming, so I chose myself. True or lie? Self-love, I chose myself, I prioritized myself. And all that is happening is that they are just moving more and more into more depression and more whatever. Yes, and more of the same nonsense. Are you there? Anyway, now, if you remember from last week, I talked to you about the William Booth, the man who started the Salvation Army, a very, very interesting and very important man of God who believed very strongly that others were important, and he tried to bring up his ministry that way. Are you there? So he preached the word of God on the one hand, and on the other hand, he did a lot of things, you see. Are you there? Today, the part where he was preaching, they've pushed it away, and they are only a charity organization, which is a pity. But that does not negate the message of his ministry. Are you with me? Are you there, or you have traveled? Yeah. And so it is part of our worship. It's part of what we do, that we must care for others. In this church, we have a ministry that feeds beggars in Accra. Every single month, there are beggars who come as if coming for salary. Yeah, to take care of themselves. Yeah. We have done a lot of work in the prisons and stuff in Accra, and it's coming up to Kumasi. And when it comes, we're also going to, we are spearheading it here in Kumasi, and we'll be part of it. Are you there? You know, so tell me, but those are the others, but there are also others who are with you. When I say others, you know, sometimes it's easier to deal with the others. Uh-huh. So this man was the one who gathered his leaders. When he couldn't make it to the meeting, he just sent them one telegram with one word, others. And that is what we are talking about. Hallelujah. Our Father has a book on this topic, and the book is also just called Others. You see, it's just there. And I hope that, you see, if you don't have a hard copy, it's not a problem. Go to darkbooks.org. Are you there? And just download your copy of the book Others and read it, and let the message enter into you well. Are you there? If it doesn't enter into you, you are going to remain your selfish self. And when we get to heaven, we are going to get questions about that. You thought that you were safe. Naturally, I'm saved. I've given my life to Christ. That's all. It's not so. Tell your neighbor, it's not so. It's not so at all. If you think that you are going to heaven just because you've given your life to Christ, you are in for a shock. You are there. Let me read a scripture you have not thought about. Those of you handling the slides, do not change. Just stay there. I'm just reading it. You can put it down and go and meditate on it some more. Matthew 25. Jesus was giving us some hint of something, because he told us that, Charlie, he separated people according to something. Matthew 25. I'm reading from verse 34. Then said the king unto them on his right hand. So a whole group of people had come. Then he said, sheep on my right, goats on my left. So as we are here, some are sheep on the right. The others are goats on the left. You will know who you are. But look at the criterion he was using. From verse 35. I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to thee? And the Lord shall answer and say to them, verily, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Are you seeing it? Are you there? You see, because you came without a Bible, that's why you couldn't just open the scripture to check. Eh? Gen Z Christians, honestly, your Christianity is another brand of lousiness, I tell you. Yeah. Can't even open your Bible. Just come and sit down. Somebody should open the screen. And that's why when you get to your room where there's no screen, you don't read the Bible till the next week. Then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So that fire, it wasn't meant for us. But you can visit, you can be sent there. What is the criteria? I was hungry, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister to you? Then he said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Hey. It's a problem. Are you in the church? So don't joke at all. I'm sharing this with you. You are trying to frighten us. I really hope you are scared. I really, really hope you are scared. It will make you do something. Yeah. Oh, you are not scared. You are like, watch it. So what should I do? Yeah. That's why sometimes you should even deliberately have coins. Usually I have coins in my purse or in my car so that a beggar person, I mean, at least I'll give you something. You see, instead of analyzing whether the person should be begging or not, it's not everybody that I can give, but at least the ones I can do, I will do it. Or you're not with me this morning. Yeah, because which one am I, what is the Lord going to say to me later on? Today I'm going to remind you about two things about others. Amen. Two things about others. Do you see that it's important? Can you see that when your roommate didn't have food and you gave food, it mattered? It really mattered. It really mattered. Tell your neighbor, kindness matters. It matters. And I told you last week, why should you do it? Just because you can. That's all. There doesn't have to be another reason. Not because she's going to do it back. Not because you owe her. Do it just because you can. That's all. Today you have two balls of kinky. So give up. We give one to her. Or to him. Every day he's eating my food. Stop. 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 That's his problem. Are you in the church? Am I talking to people who are in the church this morning? Hey. Some of you, you are in the same room with people who are from a house that is very financially deficient. And you can see it. You have eyes, but you have decided that your eyes cannot see. So let me remind you. Jesus just told us, he said there are two important things. Love God, love your neighbor. Your neighbor is right around you. Right around you. This morning you ate. Your neighbor, you knew she didn't have food. You knew he didn't have anything. See, I cannot every day be giving her food. This life, I said this life. This life. It's a long something. You don't know. It's a very long something. So today we're just, I have just two points. And I have things that I want you to remember about others. Number one, the first thing I want you to remember this morning is that others need Christ. It's not enough that you have Christ, so you are okay. Who told you that? You will answer for your roommate who doesn't know Christ. Are you there? Certain man of God, he had a vision. He slept and he had a vision. In the night, the Lord came for him. Because God had told him, had been laying it on his heart, I want you to win souls. The Lord came for him and took him on a tour. But this time, the tour was not a tour of heaven. It was a tour of hell. And he went there, saw the people screaming, all the things that were happening. And suddenly he looked and his roommate from his friend was there. His close friend said, what's this man doing here? I'm talking to some people. And the friend was screaming. The friend looked at him and said, you never told me. You never told me. You never told me about Christ. That's how come I've come to this place. You never told me. Anyway, the Lord brought him back. He slept. The following morning, he woke up. He called his mother. When he called his mother, he said, he's chatting with his mother on the phone. He said, this is my friend. The mother said, I had been waiting to call you, but I wanted the day to pass small. Your friend died on Friday. He was involved in an accident. Charlie, as he was, the friend in here, the friend was there. He had passed. Are you in the house? Yeah. And you were his roommate. And you never shared the gospel with him. Mm-hmm. Charlie, you are in the church or you have traveled? So remember, others need Christ. The second thing I want you to remember also is that others need a shepherd. Not just that they need Christ. They also need a shepherd. You see, they also need a shepherd. They also need somebody to help them. Amen. Are you in the house? Please, let's take these points one by one. Others need Christ. We're going to read a scripture. John chapter 4. From verse 28 to 30. The woman then left her water pot. This was a woman who had been conversing with Jesus. In the middle of the conversation, she realized that this is the Messiah. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? My goodness. Then they went out of the city and came to him. You see, the woman didn't know much. Hello? She didn't know much. She didn't know verses. What she knew was, I've met the Christ. I've met the, I cannot wait for night to fall, for tomorrow to come. The small she had, she just went to her people in the town and said, hey, see what I've met. And the people actually followed her. And when they followed her, they now went and heard from Jesus himself. And later they said, now we believe for ourselves, not just because of what you said to us. But she was the one who went. Many of us, we don't tell anybody about Christ because we claim that we don't know much. We claim that I can't quote verses. All is true. We claim that I don't read the Bible much. It's also true. But at least if you are in this church, you have been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, we stand here like clowns and say, I want you to give your life to Jesus. Come, let us pray. So if nothing, if you don't have anything at all, your own salvation at least you have. If you have nothing, if you have nothing. That's all she went and said. That's all she shared with them. And they also believed. Are you in the house? Are you in the church this morning? Please, can you ask your neighbor that, the thing they are talking about, you know, who did you talk to in the past month? I'm going to break it down further for you this morning. And we're going to be looking at some of the categories of people who are around you. Yes, because it has to work. Tell your neighbor, it has to must to work. It has to work. The first category we're looking at are friends. Your friends need Christ. And that's why this morning I'm very happy to just introduce to you. Move along with me, please. As I introduce Aisha to you. Please, it's not clapping matter. Listen, she came to KNUST in verse 20, in year 2020, and she had friends. Are you there? So meet her friend Elsie. Is this not what you have been doing with your friends? Yeah. They're just doing the selfies and the pictures and so forth. No problem. Tell neighbor, no, we don't have a problem with it. In those days, we used to have what we call regional services. Today, it will be council services. And she was invited by Elsie to this council service. Are you there? And she was the only one that night. The person who was preaching is Pastor Augustine. I can't see him, but he's in the house somewhere. Where are you? He's in the darkness at the back somewhere. Okay. Are you there? Here he is. Uh-huh. So he was the preacher that night. So at least he has got one stone in his crown called Aisha in heaven. That's he preached that night, Charlie. But Elsie has also got a stone in her crown because she brought her. Are you there? Yeah, she was the only convert that night. Sometimes it's like, oh, the thing, only one person share. You have no idea. But let's look at what has happened. Today she's a birth center. Look at her with her birth center members. There she is sharing the word of God with them. You see, those of you who are always criticizing, I don't want to be anything, I don't want to be anything, I don't want to be, you can't say that you are doing anything. You are just like the chair that is sitting in the church. That's your contribution. As you can see, we have the dancing stars here. It's not today she started. This is them at a retreat. Today she's the one who gathers them. True or lie? Yeah. She's their overseer. Yeah. These are pictures of her dancing in church. But it all started because she had a friend who didn't keep it to herself. Amen. A friend who didn't just keep it to herself. Hallelujah. Are you there? Should I give you another category of people? Your family members. Your family members. Yeah. Your family members need Christ. And I'm happy to introduce to you this morning Benedicta. Benedicta is here in church. Are you there? She came to church because she had a brother called Bright who was here. Some of you, your siblings are around. You don't mind whether they go to hell or what happens to them. You don't mind. But she came because her brother was in church. And it's like, I'm bringing you to my church. Can you ask your neighbor, do you have siblings? And ask them, where do they go to church? Oh, my sibling is not here. But where are they? And what have you said to them about Christ? But we are talking about others. I'd like to, you to see that. That's Benedicta at the back over there. Wow. Yeah. She's a part of the follow-up Basanta. Yeah. Please go back. She's standing on the stage and you can see her at the back. Can you see her behind? Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Here she is with her Basanta family. Yeah. When we say that we have meetings on Thursdays in smaller groups, just so that you meet other people, a place to bring other people, at least they know you. Amen? They know you. You are not just a person moving around. Yeah. But you are a family member. Please, can you ask your neighbor that, apart from your family, where's your church family? Yeah. Some of you, like, you are like ghosts and ghostiness in the church. The other day, somebody was asking me, a pastor was asking me that, oh, this is my church member. Has he come to church? Is he with you? And I said to her, well, I don't know him. Let me check. So I checked with the pastors. We all didn't know him. Nobody. Then I told her that, well, we don't know him. Then she said, oh, he's not been coming to church. And I said, maybe. But maybe also he has been coming, but he has chosen to be a ghost in the church. You know. So sit by your neighbor and ask your neighbor, that, are you one of those ghosts? You just come to church. Then you sit down, you heat the church, the chair for a few minutes, and then you are out of here. Hey, talking to nobody, knowing nobody. Another group of people who are there. I'm just showing you the others so that you know that it's not theory. Your course mates, they also need Christ. I'm happy to introduce to you Edward. Edward is an instrumentalist. And in fact, when Haniel was giving his testimony, I was sitting down there saying to myself that I think I'm going to be an instrumentalist. I would leave all of you and just be an instrumentalist. Anyway. That Edward came to school and he met David. And they were in the same class. Why are they together there? And David knew him as an instrumentalist. And David said, he said to him that, oh, but you, what are you doing with your gifts? What are you doing with your skills? Well, what are you doing with it? You know, and he was like, I'm around. I mean, cool. You know, his church is not on campus, and he could only relate online. You see, and so come, let's go to church, and there he is. We find him his first Sunday. I think I would like to have such a friend. I would like to have such a friend. Yeah, you see him also not just with the instrumentalists, but there he is with his Basanta family. Yeah. There he is with his Basanta family. Are you there? I'm just showing you pictures. There he is playing the guitar. You have come. You said, I mean, I cannot play. I'm just going to sit on my gift and go. And you are as barren as a stone. You know, one of the things that encourages me to work for the Lord, I remember when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem and then they told him that he should keep the children quiet. And then he said that, oh, if they are quiet, cry a stone will rise up. And I always say to myself, I refuse to let the stone replace me. Yeah. When you're a Christian who does nothing, Jesus will replace you with a stone. You know. And I'm like, hey, no. Your roommates need Christ. Put your hands together for the film stars. And let me introduce to you Josephine. Josephine has a roommate called Petra. And Petra brought her to church. Today, Josephine is a dancing star. Hey, come on. She's a dancing star in the church because she had a roommate who cared. And she's also part of a Basanta. Amen. That's her church family. I want you to ask your neighbor, do you have a family in this church? Or you just come. You just come and Now, it's a valid question, oh. You have not yet felt loneliness before. Yeah. And maybe it's because something bad has not happened to you before. But the day that you are lying on a hospital bed, wishing that somebody will bring you soup to drink, that's when you will know. That's when you understand what I'm saying to you. Yeah. Are you there? Now, there are also people who you just meet by chance. Yeah. There was no plan, you see. And I'm introducing to you somebody that you should know. He's always walking around with a camera. I'm even looking at him as I'm standing right here. So I'm happy to introduce to you Nana Kojo. Those of you sitting there, you can see Nana Kojo doing his... And he came to Kumasi as a student saying that, I wish I will meet somebody and I'll be able to go to church. And he met a guy called Nana Kay. Nana Kay has finished school. He left last year. Nana Kay brought him to church, and today here he is. If you have been enjoying the pictures and looking for your face in the, you've been going out to the post and you are looking for your face and you don't see your face, please, that's Nana Kojo. Go and ask him that. Hey, Nana Kojo. But he's not just holding a camera. He also, you see, because we have a basanta. If you are wondering about the word basanta, you should have been used to it by now. Yeah. The santas or basantas, as we go, they are just what we do. They normally work on Sunday in the church to help the service to move on. He also has a basanta family, a group where he meets. They study the word of God every Thursday. Are you there? And we know him as he moves around. Amen. I said amen. My question this morning is, what about you? Some of you, somebody brought you. By you, you have brought nobody. Because you are thinking about yourself. William Booth said something. Some men's passion is for gold. I would like to say some men's passion is for money. Some men's passion is for art. Some men's passion is for fame. But my passion is for souls. I think we should take what he says as our own. Because that's why Jesus came. He didn't come to make you rich. He didn't come to make you famous. He didn't come for anything. He just came to save the lost. Came to save sinners. Are you there? And we are supposed to be like him. So that is what we should be aiming for. Hallelujah. So the first thing I'm just sharing with you is that artists need Christ. And it's something you should always remember. It should be a weight on you that this person I'm sitting by, has this person heard of Christ? Has this person heard? You'll be surprised. We walk around saying that Ghana is a Christian nation. Don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself at all. Don't what? Don't kid yourself at all. Even in this church where we preach the gospel every single Sunday and give people the opportunity to receive Christ every Sunday, there are people here who are going straight to hell. They have refused to accept Christ. Come to church every single Sunday, but your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, still. Are you in the church? I told you I have only 2 points. That's point number one. Number two, others need a shepherd. Can I have John chapter 16? John chapter 10 and verse 16 in the ERV. I have other sheep too. They are not in this flock. I must lead them also. They will listen to my voice. In the future, there will be one flock and one shepherd. One day, Jesus will come for all of us. But in the meantime, people need a shepherd. Yeah. Why? It's very simple. What is the likelihood that a sheep walking from Kijetia to Accra, it will arrive? Without a guide, what's the likelihood? It will be soup, maybe even before it reaches ages. Yeah. And there are people walking through life, you see, without a shepherd. Some of you, you are in this church, but you have no shepherd. You're just there. Yeah. You see, and that's why Bishop Dark says something. He says, it is one thing to be saved, and it's another thing altogether to be shepherded properly. You see, and in this church, we are trying to learn how to shepherd people properly. Are you in the church? Yeah. You'll be surprised that it's your shepherd who knows your daily struggle. It's your shepherd who understands some things. Because as we are sitting here, I mean, half of our people have gone home, but normally when they are here, how am I going to know everybody? The few I know cry, I'm struggling. As evidenced by some of the texts that you've sent me that I've not replied yet. Sometimes I meet people and they say, oh, mommy, I sent you a text. I said, forgive me, I'm still answering. But at any one time, I have at least 500 and something texts not yet answered. And sometimes I sit there and say, I'm going to work on it. And I'll work on it. Oh, actually, I'll come down to 320. When I wake up the next morning, 800. Oh! I'll start again. Because the Lord never intended for there to be one person. Oh, you're not understanding me. You didn't see that when Jesus came, even at the beginning, he had 12 people. You didn't see that by the time he was leaving, he had 120. Those 120 continued so that as we are there, the shepherding can be done. I am also somebody's sheep. I'm also shepherded by somebody. You thought I'm walking from Kejetia to Accra alone? Oh, tell your neighbor, you got to be joking. You got to be joking. And by me, I thought that right now you are old, so you know the way. Really? Tell your neighbor, old sheep, oh, young sheep, oh, you have need of a shepherd. Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? It's a question I'm asking you. Who is your shepherd? Amen.
Amen.
And others need a shepherd. There are people here this morning only because when somebody woke up, the person thought of them. They said, let me wake up this guy to come to church. Yeah, that's a shepherd. When our Father comes online, 4:30, we are praying. Every Tuesday, every Friday, as soon as I wake up, my sheep and my pastors, where are they? I know that they want to pray, but I know that they are also busy. I know that this one got home at 11 p.m. I know that, so I will pick my phone and I will call. I won't even talk. I'll just call because I know that they need some help. Last week, Tuesday, I was the one in hell needing help. They didn't mind me at all. I was very offended. I just needed somebody to ring my phone. When I woke up, it was 5:15. I said, these people who are very wicked people. Every 4:30, I'm on the phone and I say to you that, oh, pastors, it's time for flow. Wake up, please help each other. Hey. Then today, my humanness has caught me. And you have woken up and you have not seen any text from me. And you say that perchance, mommy has fallen asleep. Wicked people, oh. But if my shepherd had known, my shepherd would have called me. The shepherd of my soul, he would have called me if he had known. Ask your neighbor, who's your shepherd? And get an answer. Or you came, you think that you can do it. We will be here. We are watching you walking from Kejetia to Accra alone. Nobody to pray for you. Nobody to pray with you. Nobody to be the shepherd of your soul. Nobody to help you. Hey! Push your neighbor on the other side and say, others need a shepherd. And that's why today I'm very happy to announce to you the launching of a program that's going to work for us.
Yeah.
The Others program. You see, some of you, if I say come and be a shepherd, you will start. Me, I don't want to be a shepherd. Me, I cannot be a shepherd. Me, I cannot. Please, I didn't say anything about it. All I'm saying is that the Others program, I've not called you anything. Tell anybody, it's not about titles. Yeah. Should I explain to you? I'm going to explain to you what the Others program is about. And to explain it, I'm going to use a scripture. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 4, I need you to see what happens to people. You see why I said you should bring your phone? You see, one day God will bless us with LED screens. But until it comes, you have to be able to read the scripture yourself. Ezekiel 16 verse 4, and I'm reading from the TPT version, just simple English, okay? The Passion Translation. Very simple, and as it calls itself, passion. It's a very passionate Bible. On the day you were born, there was no one there to cut your umbilical cord or wash you clean in water. There was no one there to rub you with salt and oil or wrap you in a baby blanket. No one did anything to help you. No one felt sorry for you or showed sympathy for you. I'm continuing, verse 5, yes. Or showed sympathy for you. Instead, you were dumped into an open field and forgotten. From the day you were born, you were rejected and unloved. Then I passed by and I saw you there squirming in your blood. And as you lay there covered with blood, I spoke over you. Live. Live. Hallelujah. Are you there? You see, I need you to understand that when somebody gives their life to Christ, you come forth, you come and pray and you say that I've given my life to Christ. You become a spiritual baby. You don't know much. All you know is that I understand what was said and I agree. I have to give my life to Jesus Christ. But that makes you a spiritual baby. And just like a physical baby, you see many things of the physical, it's just a mirror of the spiritual. A physical baby that comes today for the first time, we're going to be receiving a baby in this service. You know. Are you here? You know. A baby who is just born, defenseless, not able to do much. We are not like the elephant that when it delivers, no, the baby will be walking in a few minutes. Or like the deer. No, we deer chale. And that's how a lamb is defenseless. Defense. That's why David said that I ran after the bear and I collected my lamb from its mouth. You see? Yeah. Our father says that there are other Christians who are waiting and hoping that someone will be raised up to care for them. So, this is the job. This is the work that we have in the others project. Are you ready to see it? I'm going to give you, I think it's 5 points, and then I'll go into it a little bit, and then we'll end. The first one, become a personal friend to people. You can't be in the church and you just come. When we finish, then you take your bag and you are going. Become it. You see, the interesting thing is that as you are here behaving like that, when you go out, you have other friends who take you. They are shepherding you into clubs. They are shepherding you into hell. That one, you stay there. Yeah. They are shepherding you into something else. Now, what are you supposed to do with these people? Make sure that they are in church every Sunday to hear the word. Are you seeing it? Number three, show them love by trying to help them with any personal needs or problems that they have. You see, I could hear it already. Hey, by me, my problem. Stop. Yeah. Others. Four, help them to fit in. This church, we are over 1,002. If you don't help them to fit in, they will feel just, they're abandoned. Are you there? In the whole church, they're abandoned. So help them to fit in and be comfortable in church. Are you there? They are very quiet. Anyway, let's go into details more. Cut the umbilical cord of the baby. Remember that in Ezekiel 4, it starts by saying that there was no one to cut your umbilical cord. What does that mean? It means to disconnect every convert from the world by becoming a real and personal friend to them. You see, one of the things that happens is that somebody comes, I've given my life to Christ. Are you there? But I don't belong. For as long as they don't belong, the pull of the world will be stronger. Hello? And I need you to understand that, especially from your teens to around this age, it's so important to belong. When you see somebody who drinks, usually he started drinking not because he liked alcohol. He started drinking because he wanted to belong to some group. You see somebody stoned out of his mind. Why is he stoned? He wanted to belong. You see a girl drinking around, behaving a certain way. Why? She wanted to belong. Are you there? That's why she even went over and above her common sense. Because she wanted to belong. So when a person comes to church, it's not just I've given my life to Jesus, but you need to give them something to belong to. You see, I have a small video I want to show you. This video, I saw it and it blew my mind. It blew my mind because it showed how strong the need to belong is.
When I was younger, I hated the fact that I had happily married parents. Like, I used to pray for them to get divorced. They didn't argue all the time and like that. I just felt left out because everybody in my school had a single mom. And I was just like, why do my mom gotta be happily married? Like, why is it me? Why am I cursed with a two-parent household? I was also really mad that I lived in a home. Like, I really wanted to live in the apartments because I just thought that it just looked so cool. Like, all your friends live in the same building. Y'all all ride the bus. I genuinely wanted to be from the projects and I wanted a single mom. Really, I wanted two Christmases. This is just sick. The kids that was actually from the apartments, all that stuff, had a single mom. They made it look so fun. They always had the True Religions and the Jordans. Like, but they always had the hot chips. They always had, you know what I'm saying? They always had box braids. I couldn't even wear no weave. I couldn't get no Takis from the store because they was unhealthy. So I really want to be a trench baby so bad, and that's so sad. Like, as a parent, it's like, what do you mean I made a good life for you and you want to be a trench baby? Are you kidding me?
Some of you, the American English was too much. It didn't work. You see, this is a young lady who has grown up, and she said that when she was younger, are you here? All her classmates were from homes with single mothers. So she was from a home where mother and father were there. The home was working. But she was like, why am I cursed to have a family that has two parents in it? Because she felt that, Charlie, the thing is to be from a single home. You have Christmas with your mother. You have Christmas with your father. It looks so cool. So she used to pray that her parents would divorce. Does it make sense? She was living in a proper house. And she was praying that she will live in the projects. I pray that you will go and visit the U.S., what they call the projects. These rat-infested, animal-infested, I mean, the street crowd smells of pee. You would think that you are walking in the back of KJTR. Oh. And this girl from a proper home, she was saying that. That's why she said it was really so sick. But the reason was because she wanted to belong. This was what her class was made up of. Her classmates were people all from single mother homes. And she alone was from a proper home. So rather than feeling that, oh, I'm privileged to come from a proper home, she was rather thinking that, ah, these people cry. Why will they not divorce? Why will I? Divorce. That's why you gave your virginity away, because you wanted to belong to that group of friends who has given their virginity away and who are saying that it was like this and it was like that. You can be shouting, I don't mind. I don't mind at all. Your mother thinks that as you left your house, her house, your father thinks that you left his house a virgin, that you still are. Should I continue? I should stop. But because you wanted to belong. And that's why I'm saying to you that when people come into the church, you two don't just leave them. Befriend them. You see, one of the things this girl said was that it looked so exciting. Every young person wants to have something exciting. That's why in this church, we don't play with our excitement. We don't play with it at all. I said, we don't play at all. Yesterday evening, I was leaving here. Lady Pastor MFO was about to have a service, and I was just watching her, Charlie. They had cup service. There's the pastor in her cup and her sneakers, Charlie. She has come down. She's coming. And you may be sitting somewhere criticizing. The meaning of it is that the group of people, the age group that we work with, excitement is their opium. That's all. So when the Lord gives us an idea, hey, we just release it and we are there. Tell anybody, you want to die on a stone in boredom. But Charlie, the rest of us, we are happy to be here. And we are looking for the... Hey, did you come to church this morning? I said, did you come to church this morning? No, you left yourself at home. Hey. Amen. So when you are bringing somebody to church, let the person feel the excitement. Let them see the excitement. Hey, are you there? Our father says something. He says, when you develop friendships with people, you are opening a door. You are opening for yourself a door into their lives. Yeah. The reason why people won't say much to you is that you just come. You say, hello, I'm just calling you to remind you that there's service this morning. Bye-bye. Ah. Tell your neighbor, ah. What's that? What's that? Let's continue. So cut the cord. I'm showing you the work. Are you there? You forget the tell me, but forget the title. This is not about title. This is not about title. You're just looking at this. Next week, I want you to bring somebody. Anybody. Anybody. One person. Just bring one person. Wash them in the word. Because Ezekiel 4, he was saying that there was nobody to wash them. Every baby, when they come, we clean them. We clean the mess of them. Now, how are you going to do that? That's why he's saying that make sure that they are in church every Sunday to hear the word. Amen. And you see, when you don't make sure, and the person is also being pulled back by something, that's why you too, you have to call. And then you have to go there and say, I'm coming to pick you up. I'm coming to my roots now goes through your hostel. I'm coming with you. Are you there? How many of you are here because somebody came to call you some time back? Sometime, me too, my hand is up. Somebody came to call me. Somebody said that you are part of my group. Somebody said that, yeah, that's why I stayed. That's why I stayed. Amen. So that washing of the word, every week as you are coming, is just washing. It's just washing. Hallelujah. Are you there? He goes on to say in Ezekiel 16:4, rub them with salt and oil. In those days, that's not what they used to do. The salt was to remove any possible infections, etc., etc. Are you there? Then the oil, the skin needed to be oiled so it doesn't dry out. What does that mean? That's why you're trying to help with the personal problems. This is where your selfish self is going to wake up. Me, myself, my money is not enough for me. Tell your neighbor, life is not just about money. No. I have had people say to me, I need this amount to do A, B, and C. I don't have the amount. What do I have? I have a prayer to share with you. I can keep talking to you. Charlie, so how is it? Any ideas that we get, then we work on it. Are you there? So sometimes people just need to feel that somebody is standing by me. That's all. That's all. You see, if you can help financially, why not? But the truth is that you yourself, you are counting your coins back and forth. You know what I mean? Yeah. But sometimes to what you have, share it. Yeah. Share it. Are you there? Hey, you are very quiet on me this morning because I'm talking about you sharing, you see? Yeah. Help them. You see, because you have opened the door into their personal lives. The person is now going to talk to you. Are you there? Yeah. Yesterday, somebody sent me a picture of her church member. She had just seen that. She hadn't seen him for a while. Young boy with a huge tumor. Number one, I'm not a surgeon. I don't work for CAC. Number two, I don't have the means to do anything. But I know another person. As I'm coming, I'm calling this person. Because if it is what I think it is, it will kill the boy. Are you there? Let me call. We cannot wait. It has to be done now. That's all. So at least this, my pastor also feels that somebody has come to work. Yeah, she's a pastor, but I'm also a shepherd. Yeah. Are you in the church? You can do some. Tell your neighbor, you can do something. You can do a lot. You can do a whole lot. A whole lot. Show them love. Show them love. You know. And as you show them love by trying to help, they will understand. So how are we going to do that? How am I going to show the love? You are one slide behind me. Be there when people are not happy. When people are sad, be there. Are you there? Be there when people are sad. You see, we are so backslidden that if I don't show you, you won't even know what to do. Celebrate when they are celebrating. Befriend people who are lonely. There are people, I remember last week, I was standing right here, and I said, tell your neighbor this and that, tell your neighbor. And I watched on a row of five people, not far from me, two of them turned this way and two of them turned this way, and there was one person sitting in the middle. And I remember sitting and thinking to myself, so none of you will even just turn to this other person and say, what does it cost you? Just let the person feel included. By the second, so in fact, I stopped saying turn to your neighbor and say, because I realized that the person will just feel bad. See how the church has become. Because you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. But when I looked at her face, don't look at her face. You too, your face was somewhere when you came. There is an old African proverb that you don't look at the face of a child to send the child. It's also true in church. You don't look at the face of a person to invite the person or to say anything to the person or to, you know, you don't look at the face. Don't look at the face. Don't look at the face. Let me tell you something. The most needy people, the most nasty people, are you there? The more needy, the more nasty. Yeah. You think they have it all together. They don't. They are going to pieces, and what you are seeing is a camouflage. It's a complete cover. Take it from me. I've been pastoring young people since 1997. Yeah. The one who is looking more, when they come to church, everything is in place. The makeup is not even moving. He's a lie. Yes, my sister, it's a lie. It's a complete camouflage. Inside, it's like when you buy something, you think that it's made of wood. Then when you go and check it, it's made from that powdery sawdust. That's nothing. From today, don't fear anybody like that. Don't fear. The person is sitting there lonely. Befriend them. Are you there? Yeah. When people are afraid, speak life. Speak life. Yeah. Speak life. Tell your neighbor, speak life. Train yourself to speak life. The same way you trained yourself to speak filthy speaking. That's how you train yourself to speak other. Are you in the church? People who you know, they are unemployed, their parents have lost their job. Just help. Just help. Amen. Visit people who are sick. Visit people who are broken. It's all part of the love. Give. Tell neighbor, give. This week, I want every lady to dash somebody a dress. Everybody. Yeah, everybody. Every guy, find a nice shirt and give it away. Yeah, give it away. Give it away, cry. Yeah. Give it away. Amen. Are you in the church? Yeah. The person will say, how do you know what the person will say? You do your part and just leave it. There are people who have never received anything. I remember one time, in those days, the church was smaller, so we could do it. When the church grew, we couldn't manage. But we used to do birthday cakes for people. And I remember doing a birthday cake for this guy who was a very wild film star. And I remember I was calling at the end of the service. I mentioned his name, 1, 2, and I knew he was in church. It took about 3 calls before he came up. And he came and he cut his cake. And at the end of the service, with tears in his eyes, then he told me, he said, this is the first time somebody has called my name and it's not associated with trouble. And the second thing he said to me was that this is the first time a cake has me, my name on it. Yeah. You may think it's nothing. As you are giving that thing, you may think it's nothing. But for somebody, it's the only time somebody has given them something. Everything they have to work for it. Hey, are you there? Hey, the church is very quiet. Oh. Yeah. I don't need you or anything, but I can tell you, this t-shirt, I got it from Qatar. Yeah. And this, my trousers, I got it from my daughters-in-law. Yeah. And I've actually worn it. Yeah. Are you in the church? So even when you don't need anything, you're just happy. You're just happy. Somebody has given you something. Yeah, you are very quiet. Yeah. Please ask your neighbor, you too. What have you given somebody? Yeah. I told you, every year I go in, something that I've not worn for a year, I'll remove all. Nothing is wrong with it. I just haven't worn it. Somebody can use it. Somebody can use it. The next one, save people from trouble. Like Haniel was saving his classmate from trouble. Save people from trouble. Don't just walk away. Save people from trouble. Be the kindest person in the room. Yeah, just make up your mind. Are you there? And then invite people to church. Next week, just bring somebody with you. Yeah, just bring somebody. And if I bring them, where will they sit? Let me tell you something. We have expansion skills you know not of. Yeah. That's why we have 4 services, just to make room. So don't worry about it. Yeah. So don't worry. You just bring your person. Hallelujah. Let us quickly finish Ezekiel 16:4. There was no one there to wrap you in baby blankets. In other words, there was no one to comfort you. Help people to fit in. Help people to feel comfortable. From today, when service ends, don't just get up and go away. Amen? Am I talking to somebody? Don't just get up and go away. Some of you don't get up and go away. It's very nice that you hang around, but you hang around only talking to your friends. Today, I want you to talk to somebody else. Is that okay? Talk to someone else. Talk to somebody else. So let me just summarize our 4 points of the job, just showing you what the other's project is. Number 1, become a personal friend. Amen. It doesn't matter if you have 600 friends in the church, it's fine. It's nice. It's very nice. Yeah. Number 2, make sure that they are in church. Are you going to call somebody to church? Are you going to walk through somebody's hostel? Are you going to wake somebody up? I'll wait for you. Let's go. Do you know that it's very difficult to go to a place that you don't? Very difficult, you know. So you want to go to, what's the word? Yeah, you want to go with them. Amen? All right. Show them love by trying to help them with any personal needs and problems that they have. Sometimes the person needs to come and talk to a pastor. And it is help. When you say, let me go with you. Are you there? All our pastors, they are very well trained. When you get there, they will ask the person, should he stay? Should he go? Are you there? But sometimes just to bridge that barrier, to enter, they need help. Yeah. Help them. And then help them to fit in and to be comfortable in church. Are we going to make the church nice? Are we going to make it a friendly place? Are we going to make it an exciting place? Are we going to make it a place that people want to be? I believe we are. I want you to stand to your feet at this time. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and just pray. And today I have a specific prayer topic that I want you to pray. And that topic is, Lord, who are you going to lay on my heart to invite for next week? Who am I going to bring next week? Please, is your loop ready? That is working properly. Because the song that she's singing is a ministration. She's asking us a question. And so as she's singing it, I want you to pray. I want you to lift your voice up and pray. Just lift your voice and begin to pray. Lord, help me to bring somebody.
And let us pray this morning. Lift up your voice and let us pray. And ask the Lord, that Lord, whose name are you laying on my heart for next week?
Which friend?
Saved you.
Which family member?
He saved me.
Which you are saved, but what about that person?
He saved us for all time.
What about others? What about others?
What about others?
Oh, yes.
Lord, lay someone on our hearts this morning.
He saved me.
What are we doing for others?
What are we doing?
Oh, my God.
Do you believe in dreams? The Holy Spirit dreams.
Thousands are going to help. Thousands.
Running down the street.
Oh, lift up your voice. We are praying this morning. We are praying this morning. Lord, who is the next family member? Who is the next roommate? Who is the friend I'm supposed to speak to about you and bring them to your heart?
Who are you rescuing from this?
Oh, lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. The next person, who am I bringing to church Sunday? Lord, lead me to that person. Lord, lead me to that person. Oh, yes, my Shabbatamanenea. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me not to look at my problems. Help me to care for others. Help me to go for them and bring them into your house. Help me to preach to them. Help me shepherd them. Lift up your voice this morning and let us pray. Oh, yes, the Lord is sending us. The Lord is sending us. Oh, yes. Oh Lord, even as you have saved us, even as you have saved us, Lord, help us to be concerned about others, Lord. Oh, my may this prayer be a covenant with God that you will be concerned about others and bring your roommate, your friend, your group study member. That next person that doesn't seem like anything, you will bring them into the house next week. Lift up your voice and let us pray. Millions are going to hell. But let us pray that the Lord will use us. The Lord will send us. Oh, lift up your voice and say, Lord, help me. Help me reach to the next person. Help me reach the next person. And I not be said, it will not be said that the people are going to help because we did not reach them. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us go and speak to them. Help us invite them to church. Help us to be concerned about them, to be concerned about their problem, and bring them into your house. May our joy not be in looking for money, but bringing them into the house of God. Oh, yes. Light of the world.
As the light of the world. Oh, he saved you when he saved me. Oh, he saved us for all.
As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, it's also an opportunity for someone to give their lives to Christ. Maybe you are here in church, maybe you've been here every single Sunday, or maybe you are visiting because somebody brought you in, and you are saying that I would have cared for others, but me, myself, I'm not sure of my situation, I'm not sure of my stand, but I want to be sure. You are here this morning, you've not given your life to Jesus. This is an opportunity. Is an opportunity for you. Just lift up your right hand. Let me see. You want to give your life to Jesus. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. Now, let somebody help you. Just come and I want to pray with you. Come to me. I want to pray with you. Just step out and come. You're saying that I would have done it all, but me, myself, I think I need to know what's going on. God bless you, my dear. I'm sure there are more of us. Just come. Just step out of where you are. Come to me and let's pray together. Let's pray together. You remember our first night, I showed you the day Aisha gave her life to Jesus. And today is your turn. You say that I also want to do some, but I also need Jesus.
He saved me.
You're standing here this morning. My dear, I want to pray this prayer. I want you to follow me. Help us in the congregation. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. Thank you for saving me.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIEDIASE. God richly bless you.